Radio 930 WTAD AM 930 FM 1033. Good Friday morning, Steve. It's finally Friday. What are you doing this weekend?
What are we doing? I don't know. I get to work. I know that. I get to work Sunday.
You lucky dog, you. Oh, man. Oh, man. Well, we are missing
you can come
Mary.
In and join me if you really feel sorry for me.
Oh, I'm not that sorry for you. I'm going to enjoy cuddles with the kids. But thank you for joining us on today's Mary Griffith Show. Mary is out on vacation for another week, so you're stuck with us next week here on WTAD. We have some exciting weekend plans at the Red Dog. Because tomorrow is the day. We have Kathy Palmer with us. You guys are, you know, you've just been a little busy this week.
Yeah.
Tell us what is going on tomorrow.
Tomorrow we're going to have our 6th annual Fishing for Freedom fundraiser. In the last 5 years, we've raised $105,000 for veterans and the organization. All the proceeds stay in Quincy, and we're partnered with them, and we continue to support them and the veterans.
Where's your passion come from for this?
We're just God-fearing American farmers and everybody else down there in the bottoms. It started out with a previous owner was a fisherman, and he said, asked us girls if, you know, can we have a little party and beat the Minden Lions Club? And we asked him how much that was, and he said $6,000. He says, Kathy, I just want to have a small band and just a little fish fry and raise some money. But he didn't want nothing to do with it. Just you girls take care of it. Mm-hmm. So I hired 3 bands. And, yeah, we raised $15,000 the first year.
That is truly amazing. And you guys have a lot planned for tomorrow to hopefully raise just as much to add to that total. Run down the days of it. It goes from 1 until 10, but let's be honest, you're not leaving at 10.
Well, let's be honest, the day starts at 9. We have 12 volleyball teams, and that is full. Don't call me because it's full. And then we have the bag tournament. You sign up at 11. Bags fly at noon. We'll probably have 2 rounds of that. We have our famous catfish poor boy sandwiches from the Grunewald family at the Fish Shack. Those sell out quickly. They do 100 pounds of fish. And also, the last sandwich last year got auctioned off for $68.
Oh, that's cool.
For the very last sandwich of the day. We also have Drake Steak and Ale doing food. We opted not to do the silent auction baskets just because businesses are broke. And then we didn't want our helpers running in and out and all over Quincy. And we just didn't know when the governor might say, you're all closed again. So I had 198 silent auction baskets in my garage for a year, I would be homeless.
Oh, boy.
So we opted not to do that. We do have a raffle, and we have several square boards where you sign up for different things. We have outside vendors this year. We'll have Cincy, I think Paparazzi and some other things down there in crafts being sold. That's something new also this year that we're doing. And it's just going to be a fun day. We do have a kids area. And kids prizes, it's all free for the kids. And we never know. Whitetails Unlimited always shows up with some nice kid item.
That's cool.
Last year it was a crossbow. You know, we never know what they're going to show up with. It's always something good. The kid just has to be there.
And that is something that you guys stress, is that this is a family event.
So. All of our events at Red Dog are family friendly.
That's awesome. Now, Hearsay Band. We have a member of the band that works here in the Lincoln Douglas building. Phil has said that he is super excited, and I think everybody just loves some live music, right?
Oh, yeah, and we've missed that. We've missed that all summer, the bands and things. We're ready. We're ready to have a good time, just kick back and relax. We have a huge yard, and we block off the street, you know, and we have plenty of seating that is spaced out. And come on down and enjoy some fresh air. It might be a little cool. Grab your jacket. But we've also have 2 areas that we're going to have campfires going. So.
Oh, that'll be good. Tim Hart's also playing from 5:30 to 10. So lots of food. They say at the Red Dog, you can be close, you can be far. You get to choose. Wear your mask, be social distance, what you would choose. All to support Fishing for Freedom. Now, Kathy, with the Red Dog Saloon in Meyer, the goal is $15,000. You think you can do it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Challenge issued, she says.
Yeah.
What is the benefit of contributing to an organization like Fishing for Freedom? Can you kind of explain maybe to those that aren't familiar what they do?
Fishing for Freedom, the Warriors sign up in the beginning of the year. So like in January, they open it up. And it's present military, retired military. They are, you know, summons the Quincy to come and have a catfish tournament, crappie tournament. They fish Mark Twain Lake pools 19 and 20 on the river, and they also do some lakes and private ponds around the area, depending on their physical abilities. Some of these guys, you know, are wheelchair bound, and you know, we still get them out there. They still fish, and it's a good weekend. It's no cost. Once they get to Quincy, there's absolutely no cost. There's activities for the wives and the children if they come. There's activities family oriented, and then there's late night activities for those that want to go out and have a good time.
Wonderful. You can get more information about Fishing for Freedom, the Quincy location, just by visiting fishingforfreedomquincy.org. The 2020 event had to be postponed, correct?
It was canceled.
It was canceled, but there is one for June.
It's the first weekend in June. The biggest reason why they canceled, besides all this COVID, all the military bases were locked down. They couldn't travel. You know, we get like a bunch from Fort Hood. There's another one in Missouri we get several from. But anyway, so many people were on lockdown. So many people were on travel restrictions. So it just had to be. And so next year is going to be bigger and better. The list will carry on. The party will carry on. The American spirit will carry on.
June 4th through the 6th in 2021 is the next Fishing for Freedom here in Quincy. But because that's kind of far off, let's raise some money now. This weekend, the 6th annual Fishing for Freedom fundraiser at the Red Dog Saloon. I've been seeing the signs around town in Minden and Ursa, and we are so looking forward. How can people, if they're unfamiliar, which in our neck of the woods, right, Kathy, everybody knows where the Red Dog is, how can people get there?
Okay, if you're coming from Quincy, you can go like out the North Bottom Road and at the foot of the hill at Ursa, make a left and follow the signs. If you're going out Highway 96, you turn at Ursa Gas Station, go down over the hill. If you're coming down by Marceline, just go past down on the corner and go down to the bottom of the hill and make a right and follow the bluff around. If you're coming from Warsaw, take the Warsaw Bottom Road.
It's easy to get to, a fun night to be had. Starts 1 o'clock or earlier if you're with Kathy, and runs until 10. The hope is to raise $15,000. I love it. Lots of food. Want to run over the food again?
The food, the fish poor boy sandwiches. Last year, they sold $1,700 worth of sandwiches. And when they're gone, people. They only make them like 3 times a year for different area events. And it's a family recipe, and it's breakfast food if you're down there.
Cool.
You get them early. And then Drake's Steak and Ale, they will be having pulled pork, and I believe they're having curly fries and stuff like that this year.
Awesome. Sand Volleyball full already, but you can come watch it. Hearsay Band from 1 to 5. Tim Hart from 5:30 to 10. Camping is available. We didn't touch on that.
Yeah, we have several lots in town if you want to bring a camper. We have several people that just come down, pull their camper, never unhook it from the hitch, and park on the outer edge of town. We have plenty of places to park, and so you can enjoy the night and not have to worry about driving home.
Bring your lawn chairs for a fun night at the Red Dog Saloon. Kathy, thank you so much for taking time and for putting an event like this together.
Thank you.
It takes a lot of work and effort. Thank you. On the way, we're going to take a quick break. Steve, we're going to talk about gardening, flowers, all sorts of pretty stuff. Are you in it?
Can't wait. Yeah.
That is on the way after a quick break here on The Mary Griffith Show on WTAD. On The Mary Griffith Show today, along with Steve Bull and Kathy Carpenter. Kathy is a master gardener and is here to teach us all things gardening. She's a regular on the show. You guys know and love her.
She's a pro.
Once a month.
Once a month, she says. Well, it's more than I do sometimes here with Mary. So thank you. Okay. We appreciate you coming in. We'll take phone calls later, so feel free to call in if you've been like, oh, no, I have a question for Kathy. Well, she's on now, and we'll be able to chat with you here soon. But It's starting to get a little chilly outside, Kathy.
I love it. I am not a hot weather, a warm, humid weather person, I should say.
You know, it just makes outdoor chores a little hard, man. You're just
it
sweating
does.
All the time.
And you have to be watching for your sunscreen and your cover-ups and everything else, even
Stay
though it's woman. Hot.
Absolutely. So, fall hostas, do those go hand in hand?
Well, they are actually, the reason I wanted to speak a little bit about hostas is as I drive around a lot of the, especially the newer areas, because I live kind of outside of Quincy, I see so many people who should be reported to the Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Hostas. And I thought, I got to talk about these plants.
Steve, it's probably my house.
I love it.
They're very, very popular plants, and they are basically easy to grow. The problem is, and people who plant them sometimes are those who should know better, like landscapers.
Looking at you.
They put them in full sun. These are not full sun plants.
Oh.
Hostas enjoy maybe a couple hours of morning sun, and that's just a couple hours. And they're basically more of a shade plant. And they like nice, moist soil. And a lot of times, at least from where I see them planted, they may not be getting what they need.
I just looked up a hosta because I grew up on a farm, right? Mm-hmm. Soybeans, corn. I know what that's supposed to look like. I couldn't identify plants for anything. So I looked up a hosta. We definitely have one of those, and it is in full sun. So I had no idea.
Well, there are some hostas that tolerate more full sun than others, but they would be so much nicer looking if they were in mostly shade or filtered sun, you know, like under, a lot of times people plant them under trees.
Yeah,
and
that's
okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
So when, if they are getting full sun, when should we transplant?
The best time to transplant, well, actually, I've transplanted them almost any time. But I would say that it's probably better to transplant them and divide them, because big hosta can be divided in the early spring when they're just starting to poke their little heads up out of the ground.
Okay.
Now hostas are not native to North America at all. They are actually native to Asia, to Japan, to China, Korea, and probably the far western part of Russia. They are more of a forest plant, although some of my references say they started out in the prairies of those areas, but I'm not sure those areas actually have prairies to begin with. So, you know, grasslands maybe, but they're primarily, you know, more of a forest plant. Huh. They are members of the lily family.
Oh, I can see that with the leaf shape.
Exactly. But they're mostly grown for their leaves. They have an extra bonus because they do flower, and the flowers mostly during the summer, mid part of the summer. Some early, some mid, a few flower around now. And in fact, I have one, an old variety, Hosta plantaginea, and it is fragrant. It has beautiful white flowers right now and very, very fragrant.
There's a lot of different types of hostas looking at the
because
photos.
They've been hybridized so much. They're very conducive to hybridization, and
like the golden doodles.
They've developed tons and tons of different kinds of leaf shapes, leaf coloration, primarily green, but you can have white or yellow, some in the center of the leaf, some on the edges of the leaf, and they vary in size too. They vary in size from like dwarf, which maybe get 4 inches big as a pole plant, to giant, which can be 5 feet across if you want one of the really. I have one giant one in my front yard. It's called First Lady. I'm not quite sure who got which First Lady they were thinking of when they hybridized it, but I got some
mum questions for you.
Oh, okay.
Chrysanthemums. You see these everywhere now this time of year, of course.
Absolutely.
First off, do they like sun or not?
No, they do not mind sun.
But full sun?
But they would like to have relatively moist soil, for one thing. If they're in a pot, you'll have to water them frequently.
We keep ours in a pot, but the tops of some of them have turned brown. Should those be just pinched off, pulled off?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Are you growing them mainly for their leaves or for their flowers?
Flowers, of course, yes.
Okay.
The wife goes out and buys like three of them every year about this time.
And puts them in the pots?
And yeah, we just leave them in the pot.
Is this browning something that happens regularly with them, or is it just
this year? That's why I was surprised.
Yeah, and I would guess right off the bat, as long as your treatment of them has not changed, I would look a little bit closer at those leaves, see if maybe some sort of an insect got into it, mites perhaps that might be sucking juices out of the plant.
What about when you water it? Because I use... Sometimes I just water it from the top. Do you have to get down on the side by the dirt?
Well, it should be watered so that the water gets to those root systems.
Right.
And do you have them in a pot that has a hole in the bottom of it?
It does, but I don't have anything below that, you know, a container.
Sure.
We usually have containers that sit at... So when you water it, it sits in a little bit of water.
Right.
But this one doesn't. This just runs right through it most of the time.
Right.
So that could be one of the problems, I guess.
It might be, because if you let the soil dry out too much, then the water will not soak through unless you trickle it in. You know, it'll just run straight through because the soil or the potting soil that's there hasn't had a chance to absorb the water. It just kind of repels the water.
That makes sense.
Okay.
So, you're killing your mom, Steve.
I'm not trying to, and I really never had a problem any other year.
Yeah,
usually the one that takes care of it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't do it at our house.
Yeah,
definitely a Jeremy thing. Well, interesting. Okay, well, we have we've been talking all things hostas. Anything else you want to add about hostas?
Well,
Kathy?
Let me see. I wanted to say that the only real enemy of hostas, well, there are two invertebrate enemies of hosta called snails and slugs.
Oh,
and then there are some furry enemies of hosta, which are called voles. Now, voles generally, you see their damage usually during the winter when they decide they're going to get up close and personal with these plants and start chewing on their roots.
Mm.
I had one that almost was destroyed by voles. Fortunately, I had enough salvageable pieces because it was a fairly older hosta, and I was able to take care of that. Voles are not like moles. They don't go in the ground, usually. What they do is during the winter, because they don't have much cover and they are preyed upon by things like hawks and other kind of carnivorous things, not mice, but cats that eat voles too. They have to be, they want cover. And of course, there's not that much cover in the winter. So people who are nice to their plants and they've mulched and everything, the voles go under the mulch.
Mm.
They don't actually dig into the ground until they get to where the roots are, and then they start after them. But hosta don't have deep roots. They have a nice root system that doesn't go very, very deep into the ground. So those things are the ones you have to keep an eye out for. Now, hosta are completely dormant in the winter, so you generally won't see any of the damage at all until spring when your plant isn't coming out the way it really should. Those are the biggest enemies. Now, slugs and snails, there are some things you can sprinkle on soil that will kind of poison them, as long as you don't have other pets and something that are going to get into them. Some people swear by little saucers of beer set onto the ground, and the slugs crawl in and they drown in it. But personally, I just keep an eye out for them, and if I see one, it gets removed.
It gets removed. We're talking with Master Gardener Kathy Carpenter. We're going to take a quick break, get a check of our Marcus from Ursa Farmers Co-op, and we'll soon be talking about how to make sure that your garden is ready for the winter season. Should you want to call and ask Kathy a question, 223-9300 is the number to call. 217-223-9300 on the Mary Griffith Show here on WTAD.
If you'd like to join us on the Mary Griffith Show, you can give us a call right now if you want to talk to Kathy Carpenter. Getting set for the fall, which starts officially on the calendar next Tuesday.
Oh.
223-9300 in Quincy or outside of Quincy. The 1-800 number is 1-800-228-9823. 1-800-228-9823. Go ahead and call now. Kathy's got a few more topics, too.
We do. We are preparing with Master Gardener Kathy Carpenter about getting our gardens ready for the winter. It'll be pretty cold here. It's chilly today, so imagine it's going to get colder in the next couple of weeks, right?
Well, it will. Our average frost date isn't until into October, probably about middle part of October.
Okay.
It's supposed to get to 46 tonight.
You're going to need it.
I love it.
Yeah.
But I can turn off my fan in my bedroom.
Oh, my goodness. There you go. Okay, Kathy, so what should gardeners start thinking about then?
Well, the main thing, the thing I always start out with first, is make sure that your trees and your lawns are getting ready for winter. And that usually requires, it's the best time to fertilize your lawn is in this time of year, right now. And make sure that that's done and watered in. And, of course, with trees, everybody says, do I fertilize my trees? Well, for a tree, basically lawn fertilizer works just fine. If you're fertilizing the lawn and the trees are in the lawn, the trees will be happy. No problem at all. But now, if you're planning on planting trees, this is also the best time to plant a new tree.
Really?
Because this time, September is the best because you want the tree to be in the ground and start developing its root system, sending those roots out into the real soil, not just what they were in the pot. And they will continue to do that. Even though their little leaves drop down and everything like that, those roots will be finding their way out into the soil until you start getting good freezes. Now, a little frost, probably not a big deal. But once the soil begins to start freezing, those roots are going to stop growing until spring. They'll still be working, but they won't be. That's basically the biggest thing. And so if you've been planning and looking for a tree, this is the time to get it into the ground. And, of course, the ins and outs of planting a tree is a whole different subject. The other thing is get your weeding taken care of, because I have to say that summer is the biggest time for weeds coming in. Mm-hmm. I mean, people get all enthused about their gardens in the spring. They clear up everything. They get it nice. They put plants in, flowers in, and then the weed seeds come up. Now, there are people that put gardening landscaping cloth down on their yards. I wouldn't recommend it. Everybody seems to do it. In fact, the first thing I did when I moved into my house is rip out all the landscaping cloth. And when I ripped it out, I noticed that all the shrubs that had been planted, their roots were right on the surface. It was like they were gasping for breath because roots, well, obviously plants have to have water. The roots take it up. But if you get the soil too wet for most shrubs, the roots need oxygen, too, and that water forces out the oxygen from the soil, and it changes the pH of the soil, and it really makes the plants stressed to the max. So
why do people use that, then?
Because they don't want to weed.
Oh.
It keeps the weeds out, sure.
Now, believe me, there are weeds that can get through landscaping cloth, but they do. It cuts down on their day-to-day work in the garden, but, of course, if you're a gung-ho gardener like myself, you like to get in there in the dirt, and you get to, except when you get older. That does create a little bit of difficulty. In fact, I made the mistake of planting goldenrod in my beds. There are some beautiful goldenrods out there.
Uh-huh.
But they spread by their root systems as well as their seeds.
Oh.
And I have a wall-to-wall goldenrod bed in my front yard at the moment, which I have to use a machete to get on the sidewalk. So I'm going to be doing some stuff with that goldenrod, try to renovate things a little bit. Gary used the weed whacker on some of the weeds, that big, tall, mm-hmm. giant
wow.
weeds. And I'm going to completely renovate those beds. I went through with the Roundup after he weed whacked and made sure that there was no living.
No goldenrods coming back for Kathy. Man, but we totally, my husband definitely put down, I just call it weed barrier.
Yeah.
Not the landscape. But it's interesting because now as I think back, you can. Those roots do live at the top of the soil a little bit more so. So
they do.
Sorry, plants. Mm-hmm. I guess we're suffocating them out of our house.
Well, I can understand. And then people like to use rock mulch, mm-hmm. which you have to have a weed barrier on if you're going to use rock, because otherwise that rock will work its way down into the soil. And pretty much you've got the rockiest garden in the world, and it goes down, maybe 6 inches into the soil. So you don't want that either.
Uh-huh.
But aside from that, there's all the this is the time to plant bulbs that will come up in the spring. The fall planted, you plant them in the fall and then you get gorgeous flowers in the spring. So I have my daffodils. I like daffodils because deer don't like them.
Oh.
And neither do some of the bulb devouring rodents either. They don't like daffodils. So you're much more likely to have your daffodils come back year after year than you will with any of the other spring bulbs.
Did not know that. What are some other spring bulbs?
Oh, tulips.
Oh,
tulips,
yes.
Everyone loves tulips.
Oh, yes.
And some of your tiny wild tulips will come back.
Uh-huh.
But the regular hybridized tulips, they just seem to shoot their wad with the one flower. And every so often you'll have one that stubbornly returns every year. But it's never the big swath of beauty that you were hoping for when you first put those bulbs in. Some of the little wild, the crocuses come back every year, and they come back early, too. So they're usually your first spot of lovely, flowery color in the spring. And you just have to remember where you plant them, because once they die back after they bloom, it's like, can I plant anything else here or not? Because that's where you got to remember where those bulbs are if you're going to try to keep them. But they will come back. Crocus will come back.
Okay,
for you
and
too.
Those are the ones that you're wanting to plant right now, listeners.
Yes, anything that comes up, a bulb that comes up in the spring gets planted in the fall. Even your garlic. You got a vegetable garden and you want garlic next year to dig. Plant those cloves in the fall.
What about our fruit and vegetable gardens? Should there be things that we're doing to keep that soil nice and healthy for next year's crop?
Well, as soon as you got the crop out, I unfortunately was way behind on my planting this year, and I have an actively producing cucumber plant that are still going strong, and I have a couple of tomatoes, which I think eventually are going to ripen. If I have a frost, I'm going to bring them all in green and just let them sit around until they turn red. Not as tasty that way, but it works.
It'll work, yeah.
Yeah. So I really did not get a good job preparing the garden. It's much easier, trust me on this, when you get those last plants harvested, do your prep in the fall. Dig up, get rid of any weeds, get some fertilizer in, and just it means you'll be doing less in the spring when you really want to, have more fun. And you'll have to pull weeds in the spring too, believe me. But it won't be the bad case of weed pulling that I'm facing now.
Kathy's very excited about this.
I'm not excited because a lot of times I'm much more tolerant of our wild native type, even weeds, But Don't get me on garlic mustard. Oh, no, no, no. They never. It's a wonderful pollinator plant. And in other words, the bees, the wasps, everybody loves garlic mustard flowers. But the thing spreads like crazy throughout your bed, your yard, and it doesn't just self-seed. It's got a bulb, too. So it has two ways to multiply. Take my advice. Don't plant it. Don't even plant it in pots because the pot, it'll spread its seeds anyway.
Like mint. Right.
Like mint. You don't want mint either in your garden.
Got a couple minutes left in the show today, and I'm going to throw one at you again. Hydrangea. Okay.
Ooh, those
is that
are
how you say it?
Yeah, hydrangea.
Okay. We have one of those. And this thing's probably as tall as this countertop. It never used to be that tall. So last year, all the flowery part had died off, and I cut it off. Should you do that? And if so, how short should you cut them off?
Well, any shrub.
Because it came back huge.
It's a shrub,
right,
basically. And I don't generally recommend you cut everything down to the ground.
Right.
And it is woody,
yes.
Correct? Yours
yes,
is woody.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So with a big one like that, you want to do something called renovation pruning.
Mm-hmm.
And that is you take off about a third of the stalks,
right,
the woody stalks, each year until you've essentially, because some will come back, but mm-hmm. they might not necessarily bloom for you the first year. Also depends on what type of hydrangeas. There's some hydrangeas that are early spring bloomers, which means most of the time they set their buds in the fall. Hmm. And then if you cut everything off, you'll get nothing
right
the next year. But if you take down a third, it's also less stressful on the plant itself.
I wondered about that. Yeah, that's the part I wondered.
Yeah, so take a third out, just cut them down to the ground or close to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year, you know, keep an eye on where the older stalks are and take another third of them.
Okay. Right.
Until the third year.
Interesting.
Good tip.
We've
learned thank you very much.
So
it's
much.
Called renovation pruning.
Renovation pruning. You can look that up if you are at all interested. We have had a great morning talking with Kathy Carpenter and Master Gardener. You can always get more information at the University of Illinois Extension website if you're interested. Or if you want to, you know, ask Kathy a question, you can always give us a call when she is on the show here on with Mary.
Yeah. And sometimes when I don't know the answer to something, I research it and cut back the next month. I did that with bitter cucumbers.
Oh, there you go. Always working to educate you, listeners. Okay, Steve, you have a great weekend.
Do the same. Thank you so much. And look forward to our visits again next week.
Yeah, we've got a busy week next week. United Way, Moonlight for Hunger, Lewis Hybrid's on the show, Halloween Cemetery tours. It's going to be a good one, Steve. I know that you're on the edge of your seat on that one.
All right. We'll look forward to those visits coming up next week on the Mary Griffith Show. Kathy Carpenter, thank you so much for coming in this morning. We appreciate it. We'll see you again next month when Mary.
Yes, indeed.
Mary probably won't be on vacation, but I don't know. She's probably, who knows?
She's
exactly.
Probably having so much fun. She'd rather not come back.
I don't know, Kathy.
Thank you very much.